The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. So, friends, I have a friend who, in a couple of weeks, he's going to give his testimony at a retreat. And he told me that he had gone up to the retreat, to the leader of the retreat, and kind of gave the mini version of his testimony. And the leader told him, "Hey, you know, you got a beautiful story, but a lot of foul language and a lot of descriptive, you know, a lot of descriptions there that it might not be necessary." And to try to convince him that maybe he could kind of polish the message. Not that his story wasn't valuable, it's tremendously valuable. And his answer was, "But, you know, that's not who I am." And he told me, this friend, and I didn't want to push back in that moment, but I said, "Oh, okay, that's fine." And then I called him back and talked to him, and this is what I want to talk about today, which is this is the way I am. Don't we hear that in America so much? This is the way I am. How many times are those the words that come out of my mouth to justify things that I'm doing? Because that's the way I am. And we allow ourselves to be put into a box by a Myers-Briggs or a 360 or a strength finders, one of these tests that kind of show your weaknesses and your strengths. And actually, I myself today in our community, we're trying to get the Padres there to work better. So we have this Australian woman who's doing the, from Pat Lencioni, it's a working genius test. And today I had my 1 hour interview and she was teaching me or showing me how I approach my apostolate and what are my strengths and my weaknesses. So we're always trying to be better, especially young people, because you know they're trying to prove themselves to their bosses and trying to make a good career, right? Well, Lent is precisely the time for change, for allowing ourselves to be transformed by Christ. And when we think or give these answers, I just want to make a reflection about that. This is the way I am. Or this is who I am. First of all, as Christians, as Catholics, aren't we the ones who go from point A to point B in life? Like when Paul says, "Have the same sentiments as Jesus," is he saying that because we already have them or because we need to acquire them? Or when we think about becoming the best version of yourself. Can't hear a more cheesy thing in evangelization today. What does that mean? It's going from point A to B. And when I say this is who I am, in a certain sense, I'm saying, well, it's like somebody saying, So, you know, I have these vices and that's who I am. Don't you want to go from vice to virtue, maybe? Or, oh, I'm a woman full of defects. Well, don't you want to transform those defects into qualities so that you will shine more? What is the spiritual life all about? It's going from the real to the ideal, and the real is who we are right now. That's why there's Lent, because we're all sinful, because we have defects, not only in the spiritual life, also in the intellectual life, in the human life, in our relationships, in the way we deal with problems, in our blind spots. And we see in the readings how, by the way, I don't know how many of you know that that beautiful first reading, what is called the Akedah, the sacrifice of Isaac, is actually the Calvary of the Old Testament. All biblical scholars see that as the place of sacrifice that then will have Isaac as a figure of Jesus who will sacrifice himself. And in the Transfiguration, what we see is Jesus saying, look, I know you're going to have to transform your life. I need to give you light. I need to give you courage so that you will endure the trials of life. And you can better who you are, improve who you are. And so he is transfigurated precisely so that in the hard times that are coming, they would have the strength to say, but I know who I have put my trust in, and I can do it with his grace. With his grace. Lent is the time in which God asks us, are you willing to die to yourself? But many times, and that's why we need his grace, we are very, very stubborn. And again, we allow ourselves to be put into a box by people, by exams, by tests, of personality tests, quality tests, skill tests. But I want to read to you something that I stumbled upon recently. The opposite of ongoing formation is stagnation, a life of mediocrity. A life not going forward is a life going backward. And another enemy of ongoing formation is stubbornness, entrenching ourselves in our own way of doing things or in a that's the way I am mentality, without allowing ourselves to be questioned by anybody about anything. God never stops seeking to encounter us, to surprise us with his gifts and the unexpected challenges that draw us closer to him. Thus, a Catholic must let himself be formed by life for his whole life. Whoever believes is the oldest person here, you still have something to learn. You're never too old to learn, never too young to teach. Never, until we die. For his whole life, in order to be totally conformed to Christ and to embrace, guard, and develop the great gift of his vocation until death. This attitude of openness and flexibility, a presupposition of ongoing formation, should be developed and tested from the first stages of the spiritual life. So if there's continuous improvement in Apple and in Tesla, and in J.P. Morgan, why isn't there continuous improvement in who we are, in the person we're shaping, in the statue that we're trying to carve out? I love the saying, God loves you the way you are, but he loves us too much to leave you where you are. Love calls us for growth. So this is who I am is flawed. We are seeking imperfection. So how can we do that? Well, it's a three-step process in the spiritual life. There's many ways to skin this cat, but we've heard of the three stages of spiritual life: purgative, illuminative, and unitive. That's fine. But I want to propose these three steps, which is know yourself, accept yourself, the gifts that I have, the ones that I don't, and then overcome or better yourself. So each one, know yourself, It is the daily conscience examine. It is the other people who tell me who I am. It's these tests. It's confession, frequent confession. It's the examine of prayer, or the prayer of examine, where I find who I am so that I can have a very keen and fine self-awareness of who truly I am so that I can become a better person. That's number one. Then accept yourself. This is what I have. I don't want to be like so-and-so or like so-and-so. I don't compare myself. I am wonderful and the world needs me just the way I am. Don't hide your talent. Bring it out because we need to see it. And there's nobody who can bring it out the way you can. The world would not be the way it is without you the way you are. But also with the one who is striving to become better. It's the phrase, have the same sentiments as Jesus. And then finally, number three is improve who you are. Analyze who you are. Don't give in to the, that's the way I am. Well, if that's the way I am and it has defects and vices, I want to be something, somebody better. Maybe not only for God, also for your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friends, your family. We're all so proud of the people who are always working on themselves with the grace of God. Dream about yourselves, my friends, the way God dreams about you. Don't allow the devil to put this, that's the way I am, complacency in you. Being satisfied with less than what you deserve. Becoming the gem that you're called to become. And finally, I wanted to end with Romans chapter 12, which I believe summarizes everything we've said. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's ask Our Lady to grant us this grace of not being satisfied with who we are now, being happy with who we are because we're loved that way, but not satisfied, not staying in that place. We're called to grow. We're called to be the men and women that Jesus every day, truly and really, wants us to